guys, welcome to another episode of the Lemonade Podcast. This is your host, Stephanie, and I am joined today by, I'm probably going to slip up and call her Jasmine several times during this podcast, but you know her as Foxy Jezebel from Twitter. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Steph. How you doing?
I'm doing fine as can be. And, you know, I hate to say 45's America, but that's, you know what? It's always been 45's America. It's just more, it's a face to it now, a very hanging, low, droopy, nightmarish face to it with orange hair, but orange, a face to it.
Orange, yeah.
Yeah. But I know. So I just want to say thank you for joining me. I've been trying to get a lot better about having people on because it's always nice to have somebody to talk to and not just talk to myself the entire time. So, we're just talking about on air, off air, has anything bothered you or annoyed your soul this week? And I guess it's kind of hard to say no to because it's something, it's always something. And
what happened? Like, it kind of seems exactly. Like it's always something just comes up, even if it's just like, sometimes it feels like little pricks, and then something big falls, and it's like, oh. So,
right.
So it's like little things. It's either, oh, you know, why are we letting people come in from these shithole countries? To, oh, well, I didn't say that. To, oh, now the government shut down.
Right. It's a mess. It is a complete and utter mess. And the Women's March, which I didn't know was an annual thing or going to be an annual thing, but that was this past weekend. And just as I felt about it last year, which is I personally didn't give a damn because I'm just like the main amount of women that are out there in the streets marching are the same women that possibly voted for this person that we have in office now. So I just like, not really interested. But I do understand those that were and, went out there and marched and spoke as well, especially Black women and other women of color. I get it. And I understand and I support you.
Yeah, pretty much. I was pretty much everybody Black this weekend.
Right. And I didn't even know that it was happening. Like, again, I didn't know that this was going to be an annual thing. And it was fine. I was willing to just not necessarily ignore it, but just let it be what it was. But then I saw a picture of a Harriet Tubman statue with a pink hat on it. And I said, okay, well, then y'all got it fucked up right now, because what are we doing?
Yep. Yeah. Someone decided to put a pink pussy hat on the Harriet Tubman statue in Harlem, which is in the, it's part of NYC, it's part of Manhattan, the five boroughs and stuff, which is, I reside in one of those boroughs. So that was pretty much like in my backyard, my neck of the woods. And I saw that and I was like, oh, baby, no. See, now this is what happens when y'all, you know, give somebody an inch and motherfuckers want to take like 10 yards and shit. It's like, nah, no. And as I saw, it was actually retweeted into my timeline and I was just like, oh God, no. Like, why is this?
I couldn't even retweet it.
Okay. So, okay. Well, when it comes to the Women's March, I get it. I said, I'm basically rooting for anybody Black who participates in it, and I understand it. Especially since I'm always here for us reminding folks that, hey, you know, half of a percentage of white women in this country actually voted for Trump, and I'm here for those sisters who were carrying signs, letting people know that and recognizing that. I had a feeling that the Women's March was definitely something that would be a thing to happen like every year, especially I think for as long as we have 45 in office, it's going to be a thing. And it was only, yeah. I think they were thinking, I'm sure they were thinking that it was only fitting for them to have another one on, you know, since it's basically like the year anniversary since 45's inauguration when they first had the mm-hmm. Women's March. So for them not to, it would have been really weird for them not to do anything this weekend.
Right, right.
So I kind of expected it. And so there are friends of mine I know who, there are folks that I know who took part in the march and was letting me know and things like that. So I'm glad that, you know, things went all right. It seemed like, you know, there weren't that many, like, everybody pretty much made it back home safe and sound. So that's what I'm happy about. Not really mm-hmm. feeling the whole pink hat on Harriet Tubman. I don't think it really shows how, in general, how I feel about the Women's March. It's very,
it's white feminism. It feels like,
yeah, it's basically white. It is basically white feminism. It feels like a very, you know, homogenized sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, but I know Saturday I tried to retweet as many black women and women of color who were tweeting about certain things and things right. and all other types of activism that we have going on. I retweeted and tried to signal boost that as much as possible. So, you know, between that and, you know, popping Motrin because my time of the month is here. Like making sure that my chicken levels were at a good spot. That's pretty much how I spent my weekend.
Yeah. Pretty much same. And like I said, I was willing to, like, you know, just support those who, like you said, black women who were tweeting about specific things in regards to the Women's March. I tried to retweet them or fave it and other women of color. But then I saw that hat on Harriet Tubman and I said, oh no. So y'all just don't ever know how to act. And it's very apparent. So, yeah. And then,
And I get this feeling if we had a statue of Sojourner Truth, I get the feeling they would have tried to put a pussy hat on her too. And then I just would have just lost it.
Yeah, I would have too. And then, of course, for some of the black women that were critiquing, you know, Harriet Tubman's, I mean, the hat being put on the Harriet Tubman statue, you had, of course, the Ashies take their moment to go ahead and remind black women how much they just despise black women and black women who want to speak up about things that they believe in. And it's like, oh, well, misguided black women didn't follow white women in this, then this just speaks to that and so on and so forth. I'm just like, but one, nobody asked your opinion. And then two, this wasn't an invitation to talk about how you feel about quote unquote misguided black women. And then also, like, we march for y'all all the time. And then, yeah, I don't even have to give examples as to how much that gets, you know, thrown back at us. So I was like, okay, nobody asked your opinion, please sit down.
I kind of got caught up with that this afternoon because I didn't really see much of it yesterday. But I saw this one tweet by this one guy about, you know, basically saying, you know, the things that you had said about, like, trying following behind white women and marching behind them or whatever. And somebody quoted that and said, you know, like, as if we don't march for y'all. And, like, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh God. It's like these motherfuckers are just foaming and frothing at the mouth to say something negative about black women, about what we're doing. You know, meanwhile, right. You know, but when we're out in the streets marching for y'all who are, like, dying and getting shot up by the police and, you know, arrested and still, you know, being arrested and stopped and frisked and all that. And, you know, disproportionate numbers, like, you ain't got shit to say then.
Right.
But
right.
When we march, we'll march with another group because of, you know, some shared commonalities of experience in being women, then it's a problem, you know. And then you have to remember that these are the same folks who think that, you know, that that feminism is a plot by the CIA to break up the Black family and all this other pseudo-intellectual woo and lies that have no basis in fact, that just sort of, you know, infect our community. Like, and it really bothers me that we are still so susceptible to believing conspiracy theories and pseudo-intellectual woo and stuff. So,
I know. And it's a layered conversation as to all the reasons why we are, you know, so susceptible to that. But it's just annoying because then you get stuff like Nipsey Hussle, who says ignorant things about queerness, gayness, being and infiltrating the Black community and destroying it. And it's just like, nigga, shut up. For real. Because like, what sense does that make? None at all. And you were talking about what are the papers called again?
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. So remember on that Instagram post, there's a Black woman who was like, first of all, you need to apologize for what you said because it wasn't true. And then he said, I'm not apologizing for anything because there's a hidden agenda. Read the ISIS papers. That's the name of the book. The ISIS papers. It is by an author. Her name is Frances Cress. I'm going to. I feel bad that I don't know what it is. Frances.
Is it Welsing?
Welsing. Frances Cress Welsing. Yes. She wrote that book back in the 70s. I think it was about 1970s. And basically, Nipsey Hussle has this idea of there being some hidden agenda involving Black LGBT folks making, you know, the Black man. And when we say the Black man, we mean cis, we mean hetero, straight Black men look bad or look weak or what have you. And that's basically just a cover for homophobia. So basically, because of this, I have endeavored to find out where folks get this mess from. And it turns out that it is from the ISIS papers. Specifically, in one specific chapter 6, which I had to print out to make copies so that I can read through it and so I can, you know, go through it as thoroughly as possible and refute some of it. Girl. Oh my God. So basically, it's this chapter called The Politics Behind Black Male Passivity, Effeminization, Bisexuality, and Homosexuality. This is an essay that she wrote in August of 1974. So what we have to keep in mind for that is that was not too long after after the American Psychological Association. It was not too long after they took off homosexuality as a mental disorder in their DSI, in their main book where mental disorders are defined. So basically, apparently, Francis states that that apparently this being gay, it was an epidemic that was growing in proportion, and that apparently homosexual behavior was non-existent in Africa, which any scholar can refute and has refuted. It's not true. In fact, we know that that there were different sexualities and behavior that were present in Africa, you know, pre-colonization. And it was only due to colonization by European countries that that African countries adapted, you know, the idea of gender binaries and anti-LGBT sentiment. So, and also the fact that homosexuality has been observed in like over 500 species on the planet, including humans, Homo sapiens. So yeah, but basically, and this has become like a project of mine that I'm going to do some videos about, is we have a problem with accepting pseudo-intellectual, being susceptible to conspiracy theories and pseudo-intellectualism in our communities. And it definitely is due to paranoia, because there are things that we were paranoid about as a group of people that ended up turning out being true, like, you know, Iran-Contra, the Tuskegee experiments, Black women and girls and other women and girls of color being, you know, either involuntarily or forcibly sterilized. Things like that start off from paranoia and in some ways conspiracy, and they were founded to be true. So I definitely get why we as a group are a little more paranoid about things. Than maybe other groups, maybe other, you know, ethnic groups. But that doesn't give us the excuse to just make things up, like pull stuff out of our asses and just state them as fact, just because we may or may not be psychologists and doctors. And that was, and that's another sad thing about the whole thing. Frances Kress, She is a psychologist, and she, you know, she is an MD, and it's all the more disappointing to see folks who should know better go out of their way to just make up, you know, to make up lies and conspiracies and package them for mass consumption bias.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's your Umars and your Nasheeds and all of them. And they just kind of play through that.
That's where they get this from. It seems like this, you know, all this thinking when it comes to, you know, their definition of Black liberation only being, you know, liberation for straight Black men. Because there's this, you know, it's this idea of, you know, us buying into us basically, or these men and women buying into the idea of, you know, of this white cis hetero patriarchal model of, you know, when it comes to gender roles, when it comes to social structure, when it comes to, you know, the structure of families and things like that, buying into that. So what they're doing is basically, you know, trying to be carbon copies of Massa. And that's not just with them. You have people like, you know, Boyce Watkins sort of pushes the same thing. You know, it's them buying into that of that model. Like I said, it's about them buying into things that were said about us through the Moynihan Report, which basically blamed, you know, Black single mothers for pretty much everything that, you know, Black men were going through, you know, post-Civil Rights Act and into the 70s. You know, never mind that there were other economic factors and there were other factors going on in history that led to the situation that we're in now, you know, like manufacturing jobs being taken from the U.S. and being shipped overseas. And then there's the Vietnam War, which disproportionately drafted Black men and send them over there to fight this war that they didn't have to. And then they go over there and they experience the worst shit. So they come back to a country that still doesn't give a shit about them. They can't get jobs. They come back with PTSD and, you know, substance abuse problems and things like that. And it's like they leave behind families, and it's like, what were the women supposed to do? Not work or exactly. Not reach out for assistance. So that, you know, so what? They're supposed to just starve and let their children starve? No. You know, and it's like it's you know, there's all of these, you know, you can make a there's more than enough of a wealth of information out there for us to see, to try to make sense of you know, of the situation that we as a community of us, as we as an ethnic group find ourselves in, without resorting to just making up shit, you know, just pulling shit out of our ass and making it up, along with, you know, taking some stuff that Massa gave us and sort of use that to, you know, concoct this crazy, you know, ahistorical narrative and try to push and try to push that as fact. And by people who, again, who you know, some folks who have achieved higher education, who have degrees, who are psychologists, or, you know, say they're psychologists, you know, like Umar Johnson, and should know better, but they care more about pushing.
A personal agenda.
A personal narrative. Mm-hmm. Than for the welfare of as a whole.
Yeah, for the welfare of everyone. And to segue terribly, as far as like personal agendas and pushing things, did you hear about Netflix offering Monique, I think it was at $500,000 for a comedy special, while giving Amy Schumer 13, and I think what did Dave Chappelle get, 20? And
yeah, I heard that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle got $20 million. Amy Schumer originally got $11 million, but she went back to the table with them, and they bumped it up $2 million, so she got ended up getting $13 million for hers. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to only give Monique $500,000, and then
which is ridiculous,
which is bullshit. And then they have the nerve to say, Monique, we consider you a legend. Or if you consider her a legend, why the fuck aren't you offering her $20 million then?
Exactly.
And also trying to say
that was a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem. And also, it's also a problem to try to speak out of both sides of your mouth to say, oh, well, we don't go by reputation, but we gave Amy the amount of money that she had, that, you know, that we were giving Amy that amount of money because, you know, she had just did a show and she has a movie out recently, and da 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 da. And it's like, then you are going by a person's resume. So, like, come on. Like, and that's still gets on my nerves. Like, why are you trying to talk to us like we're stupid? Like, come on.
No, that, and then also just, of course, the timeline show, you know, people were saying that, you know, Monique should have done better business wise, or her husband shouldn't be her manager, which I do agree with. You know, that was her problem on a business end, that she didn't, and she was unable to negotiate a higher pay. But I think that just speaks to what she was offered and how Netflix handled it, just speaks to a bigger issue of how Hollywood in itself just treats Black women, and how Black women still get paid way less even than their white counterparts.
Oh, I agree. The thing is that it could be a lot of factors. It could be that her having her husband as her manager could be a bad idea. I mean, we've seen it we've seen it with other women who were performers, like, you know, Nina Simone, Bessie Smith. Like, we've seen what happens when husbands are women's managers and they don't really know how to take care of business. And they sometimes feel like they're a little too big for their britches and cause more problems than they try to solve. We definitely see that. And that, you know, but that doesn't negate the fact that, you know, Hollywood and, you know, that there's still a problem when it comes to Black women asking to be paid what we're worth, and people not wanting to get with the program. And even Wanda Sykes, she tweeted something out. She was like, yeah, I stand with Monique because Netflix tried to do the same to me. But then she went to Epix and negotiated something better, and she got something much better. So,
yeah. I think there's a lot of things at play, but I think the bottom or the black ass bottom line on this is that Monique shouldn't, that was a slap. That's a slap in the face to offer an Oscar winner $500,000 and then, you know, Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, Amy Schumer, all well into the double digits as far as millions are concerned. So, and we're not saying that this is off of, you know, people getting paid because of how funny they are, because that is left up to interpretation. And last couple Dave Chappelle, the specials that he's had on there, one of them I didn't make it through, and the other one, yeah. So, you know, we can play the game of who's funnier and all of that, but I mean, let's be real, none of them were paid based on how funny they are, because the numbers would be a little bit different.
Exactly.
So, and okay, speaking of another black woman who, yeah, and another black woman who isn't making as much money as she should is Tracee Ellis Ross. Anthony Anderson is making more than her on Black-ish, which is just like, whoa. I watched Black-ish for Bo. I don't watch it for Anthony Anderson's character. Let's be real. And the bigger issue I do want to speak to, well, it's not necessarily a bigger issue, but just the lack of journalism, because it was reported that they said that she said something that she didn't, and she came out and she's like, I didn't say that. So what is up with that? And that seems to be like really common, and feels like it's more common than it was before. I mean, the last year or two, where you really do need to read an article before you go based off of what the headline says, which is, yeah. I mean, that should be common practice, but given how Twitter works and other social media sites, it's kind of easy to get stuck, you know, caught up in just reading the sensationalized headline, getting riled up and having emotions about that without actually reading the article. Or sometimes in this case, the person didn't even say what it was said they said.
Wow. Like I had just seen original articles on just reporting that she's making less than what Anthony is mm-hmm. making. But being outright taken out of context, like, sadly, I think we're seeing a little too much of that lately. And I think we're seeing that because folks who are really, it seems like the way they're setting up this new journalism model these days, they really want to get clicks. And it's really a bad thing. I mean, not for nothing, they pretty much did that to Ian McKellen. You know, because remember, we were about ready to cancel Ian McKellen because of what we thought he said in regards to, you know, the whole Me Too thing and sexual harassment and things like that. And it was only when we saw the entirety of what he said, not just a piece of it, that we were like, okay. And plus, like, the overuse of clickbaity titles to get people riled up and in their feelings and retweeting it and sharing it and like not even reading it. You know what I mean? Like reading it afterwards and then being like, oh, well, you know, this article isn't as inflammatory as, you know, the title that they use in the tweet that I saved. So it's like, yeah, it's almost like now just knowing how these publishing companies are, you gotta actually click on the link and actually read the article before you go like balls to the wall, like, this is bullshit. You know, it's like personally, I feel like the only like media company where it's like, you will be okay if you don't read the article is BossIp. I feel like BossIp, they're pretty much the only honest, you know, title makers, and whoever makes the titles for their articles and their tweets, yo, they need all the raises, because they're super duper honest and super duper funny. So it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I love it.
But in as far as Tracee making less than Anthony, I feel like that's, you know, it's weird because it's like, damn, like, why is she making less? And then you see people coming out the woodworks with like, well, you know, Anthony, he's this and he's that, and he's the executive producer and yada, yada, yada. And then other people come out and say, well, yeah, that may be the case. But as far as like, you know, SGA, like Screen Actors Guild, as far as like pay is concerned, producer, once you put in producer, that's a different rate versus if, you know, as an actor or whatever. So, you know, either way, it's, you know,
it's sketchy.
No one still comes out of it smelling like roses. Everyone just comes out smelling foul because of it. And it's still a problem. We still aren't paid nearly close to what we're worth.
And I think all the time,
across what, you know, no matter what type of job a Black woman has, like, we're still not paid what we're worth. We're not even paid, you know, to a white woman's dollar. It's white women.
No, who, and I hope,
you know, it's, that's the thing people forget. It's only white women are the ones who only make 70%, 70 cents to a white man's dollar. With us, it's about maybe 60s. It's about maybe 65.
Mm-hmm. And then for Latino women, it's lower than that. Exactly. So it's. And then speaking of that, that's kind of funny. And I guess the tea on that is that a lot of people, you know, retweet those thoughts and agree with them, but then turn around and ask you for free labor via Twitter, via thinking that your platform is big enough so that you can do some of the legwork for them and help them in some kind of way, or sliding in your DMs and asking for labor. So, you know what I mean? Like, there's tiers to just seeing how Black women are not appreciated in the work they do and are compensated for it. Something as simple as, what was it? Jessica Chastain tweeted out, "I can't think of any movies that have been led by Black women in 2017. It's like, girl, first off, Google is free.
Exactly.
And then secondly, how are you not paying attention to anything? And then there's other tweets that I've noticed that are kind of similar in that way, where someone will say, well, I'm, you know, I don't know of any XYZ in whatever this industry or whatever this, whatever, you know, whatever it is. And then they'll ask, and then people will do all the work for them and then give them all these names, and then nothing really comes of it. They just want to be performative and seeming concerned about what's going on.
Yeah, like it's 2018. I'm really past this performative mess. Either give people a shot or just go back to ignorant bliss and pretending that there's no problem. Cause, you know, like, put up or shut up. That's really what it's about now.
No, it really honestly is. That's exactly what it's about. So, there was something else that I wanted to bring up that was kind of related to this, but maybe not so much. Again, another horrible segue into Black Panther.
Oh.
And I guess before we start talking about Black Panther, because I kind of wanted to tie that in with Black Lightning, I do want to bring up, I don't know if you saw this tweet, someone had tweeted out that Black Panther had not been filmed anywhere in Africa, so much for African solidarity or something like that, or Black solidarity. And a few people tagged me to this tweet, and I'm thinking to myself, I already seen this tweet, and I just kept scrolling by because I don't give a damn. Two, Wakanda is right next to Zamunda, which is right next to Oz, which is right next to whatever fictional place. So where were they going to film this? You know what I mean? Like, I don't ever want to be so woke like that.
Sometimes
I don't want to ever be that woke.
Sometimes it's really like, you can, like, it's okay, because we're not going to be woke about everything all the time, 24/7. And those who try to are annoying as fuck. Like, believe me. And like, I am that sort of person at times who, you know, like, you will get lost in the weeds if you try to be like 24/7 woke, you know, 365 days out of the year. Like, and we're not perfect. We're gonna mess up. We're gonna slip up at some point. Is there probably a legitimate concern to be made about a blackity black ass movie not, you know, I don't know, not maybe doing some shootings in, you know, Johannesburg or some in some African country, like picking an African country and maybe doing some shooting there. Probably.
Yes. I mean, that's probably so. Real quick.
I'm going to try and be a bit charitable about that. But at the same time.
Yeah, but real quick, they did. Uh-huh. No, I was going to say that real quick, they did film some aerial shots in Africa. So it wasn't like wholly true.
Come on now. Yeah, like it's not that serious. And also, like running on a budget, like it has Marvel, like most movie companies and television companies, like shooting in Atlanta, Georgia, there's perks for them to shoot there. So why would they not use that location to shoot things? Like Marvel's been shooting the majority of their movies there, especially like Civil War. What?
Mm-hmm.
So it is okay. It's okay if they shot in other places in Europe. They pick a little, you know, that's what location scouts do. And especially like, again, like you said, we are dealing with a country that is a fictional country, very technologically advanced, an African country, African as fuck, but it's still a fictional country. There is nothing wrong with location scouts taking a bit from this country, taking a bit from that country, taking a bit from another country, and putting all those together and naming it Wakanda. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Like,
it's really not as serious as that person who tweeted that made it out to be. And it's like, why? You're doing too much. Way too much for me. I can't.
And that's why when I originally saw it, I just kept on scrolling. I looked at it and I said, oh, and then I just kept on scrolling. Because
it's one of those things where it's like you see someone either tweet something highly stupid, or if you're on Facebook and one of your friends just says something so stupid, and you're just like,
yeah, you just keep going.
You scroll up or scroll down.
Because
sometimes it's just like, you know, me retaining a friendship or something means that I have to scroll up or scroll down because I can't.
Yeah, and I'm like, not everything deserves your energy. And I mean, exactly. I guess.
That's not that serious, but it's just annoying how some folks will just try to be like way too extra. And it's like, oh, baby, no, what y'all doing? It doesn't have to be that serious. Like, this movie's going to be good regardless of whether there's aerial shots in Africa, whether there's not aerial shots in Africa. That doesn't make the movie less black. So it's okay. Yeah. Put the black fist down, you know, pick out your afro, you know, go soak your ends in some black castor oil. You'll be fine. It's okay.
You'll be just fine. So speaking of just blackness in itself, Black Lightning, another superhero with the title Black before its name, that premiered this past Tuesday, and I didn't watch it the night that it premiered. I don't know what I had going on. In fact, I think I went to bed early that night, but I did watch it the next day, and I liked it more than I thought it would. I'm going to be very frank with y'all. Like, I've watched the other CW superhero shows. Now, while I am aware that, you know, this one was being directed and produced by at the hands of Black folks, you know, not in comparison with the other shows, that it would be or should be different in some way, shape or form, it's still the CW. So, like, I just wasn't expecting that much. And it kind of looked a little cheesy, like Luke Cage was cheesy definitely in that second half, but you know, I wasn't like, you know, my expectations just weren't all that high. And also Black Lightning wasn't a character that I was super familiar with, so I was actually reading some Black Lightning comics to just kind of get up to speed. And you know, I saw that he had a afro as a wig mask or whatever the hell, so I was like, oh well, that's interesting. So another character created from the 70s that y'all gonna have to flip, which they did do. They did a really great job, and Cress Williams is still fine.
Cress Williams is fine.
And Living Single had me. Yes. Mm-hmm. And Living Single actually had me looking forward to Black Lightning because of that. But just overall, it was fine. There were some things that happened that kind of made me, I don't want to say cringe, but I was just kind of like, not sure where their writer's room was going with that, but I get it. Personally, I didn't have a problem with, you know, them going the whole route that they have with, I guess, gangs in the community and it's overrun and, you know, that's what brings him out of retirement. But I mean, I understand those that did have a problem with that. So for me, it was, for what it was, it's fine for me personally. What did you think?
I was actually like sort of in a funk, in a bad mood. So at first I wasn't going to watch, but then, you know, I had talked with some folks and, you know, my mood got better and I had just wanted to eat and pass the fuck out. But since that did not happen, I was like, okay, let me see what this show is about. It's 9 o'clock. So I'm laying in bed, I'm watching the show. And I liked it more than I thought I would. Now, I saw that tweet by Sonna Baldwin saying that, oh, well, I watched it. And, you know, but since folks don't like, you know, for media like this to be critiqued, I'll say that it was, you know, it was all right. Blah, 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 blah. I think part of him has a
point. What do we not critique?
Yeah, I think part of him has a point. But at the same time, we can talk about this. We can break this down and it'll still be okay. We can still enjoy our media for what it is. We can also still like point out things that we're like, that we're not really feeling and sort of hope either get addressed or whatever. And like you said, like, I'm glad it's run by Black showrunners, you know, Black people writing a script and all that stuff. Also, like you said, it is the CW, so it may not be as woke as everyone thinks or whatever. But also, what I think people tend to forget is that when it comes to us, and I was tweeting about it, I made a little tweet stream about with my thoughts on Black Lightning, and I thought it was good. If, you know, a lot of, you know, blackety black things, black principal, black middle class family, running a school, being teachers, doing this and that. I liked the dynamic that they showed, which is pretty, you know, pretty real. You know, you see the clashes between, you know, working class black folk and middle class black folk, because those dynamics do exist. And, you know, you see a little parlay between, you know, the town drug dealer, you know, and, you know, the good middle class man, like, oh, they knew each other since back in the day and they just went in different directions. And now one's a leader in his domain and another's a leader in his domain. But somehow they come together to, you know, have some sort of agreement to keep whatever, you know, to keep the violence down to a minimum or whatever, whatever. Like, listen, I'm not going to stop you from doing what you do. You're not going to stop me from doing what I do. But maybe there's a way we could come in the middle. We could come to some agreement in the middle to keep violence or whatever to a minimum, whatever, whatever. Because that's, and, you know, sometimes that's kind of how things go. So, mm-hmm. I liked that it examined that. I also liked that it didn't steer away. It didn't try to make us look that good. Now, don't get me wrong. It tried to definitely make us look good because, like I said, like when it comes to us, we definitely have our issues, especially in regards to class. You know, working class black folk versus black folk who, you know, who go from working class to like middle class and upper middle class. And with them taking on society's dictates when it comes to middle class, you know, fully assimilating into, you know, white society when it comes to that stuff. So that was definitely on display in the show. And also within,
oh yes, for sure.
Yeah, and also within, you know, how Jefferson goes about, you know, going to get the things that he wants. You know, at the time, you know, as we saw through flashbacks when he was Black Lightning, it was him and his wife and two kids. They were in like this small, they were in this apartment or whatever. So you could tell that they were definitely working class while he was originally doing his Black Lightning thing. And then after a while, after, you know, wife divorced him and all this, and he was just like, yo, maybe there's a better way for me to do this. And so he's trying to do it, you know, quote unquote, by the book, you know. So he plays the game, goes from working the middle class and joins that stature. So you see him sort of teeter the lines between that, especially when that fuckboy from the club comes and tries to get at Anissa and I forget her sister's name, Jessie, right?
Jennifer.
So you see him try to get at Anissa and Jennifer. He tries to pull out the gun, and Jefferson just comes out and is like, no, son, like, what is that going to achieve? Because you see there's cameras all around this motherfucker, and the cops will come and shoot your ass up and then go on about their day. So you see him sort of try, he's teetering, he's trying to, you know, play that line between still trying to relate to his people while still walking that respectability politics line. And I thought that that was smart, and I thought that that was sort of an honest thing to do and to show, because we still have that problem. We're still rife with respectability politics. And sadly, that's no matter what class we're in, whether we're working class, middle class, or if we're, you know, in the 1% of Black people who, you know, have money. Respectability politics is still that thing that we still have. So I appreciated them showing him teeter between that. I didn't appreciate the respectability politics and the whole fast ass girl thing when Jennifer got home from the club and Anissa was like, oh, well, right. Why would you out here with your fast ass trying to be grown, and you want to be end up in a hotel drugged up and passed around and da 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 with your fast ass. I was like, okay, girl, I get that you're upset, but you calling this girl fast a little too much. And there's only about maybe one to two more fast ass girl things that I can stand before I throw my remote.
No, exactly. And I think had it can't say to like just one or two.
And even if it was the one, I'd have been like, Anissa, girl, no. You know, but at,
right.
You know,
right.
But at the same time, it's like I didn't appreciate it, but at the same time, a lot of us still think that way. A lot of us still push that right.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's not like I said, we basically got a show that put on blast, like sort of where we are still. And we still have you know, certain toxic dynamics within our group that we still haven't done away with, you know, because they haven't, you know, like they've been challenged and they're being challenged, but not, it hasn't hit the zenith yet.
Yeah, no, I thought that it was a pretty real and fairly accurate and fair representation of like just different Black people and thoughts and how they felt about different things. Again, the fast ass girl thing definitely annoyed the hell out of me. But like you just said, like I understood that that's still very real in way of thinking. I mean, to be honest, that was probably me 4 or 5 years ago.
Right. Exactly. Like that was,
I mean, there's a lot of,
exactly. Yeah. That was, you know, that was me. That, you know, that would have been me like in my early to late 20s, you know what I mean? Like that would have been me at like, you know, 27, 28. So I get it. It's something that like, it's still within the culture. It still hasn't been, deconstructed to the point where we can where we can sort of challenge that and be like, nah, like, no, it's okay. Like, so just because, you know, just because I snuck out to the club or whatever, you know what I'm saying? What does that make me less of a person or something like that? We haven't gotten to that point where it could be, where we, you know, challenge something to sort of subvert it. So that was bothering the fuck out of me. The misogynoir was bothering the fuck out of me, but it was honest and it was true, especially with the drug dealer, fucking D-Sis's evil twin. That's why I call him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially in the club.
It's just fair.
Yeah. Especially the way he was talking to Jennifer in the club. And then when the fuck boy came with the gun and then they decided to kidnap both the girls, I was just like, I'm like, okay, so we're not shying away from being real about, you know, misogynoir. That's fair. I'm with that.
Yeah. And then, so I guess to kind of wrap it up, like, if this was something that you didn't like, that's fine. Like, your media consumption shouldn't have to define your blackness or how woke you are, or just like you, it's okay if you watched this and you didn't critique it, right?
Right.
You just enjoyed it for what it was, because it would be very exhausting trying to be critical about every single thing that you come in contact with or consume.
Exactly.
There are some things that I know that, yeah, that like for Proud Mary, for instance, or whatever, like I knew what I was getting into when I saw that movie. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't great. It wasn't horrible either, but I still enjoyed it for what it was. And that was like, it didn't have to be an Oscar winning movie. I didn't expect it to be.
Exactly.
And
like, we can allow ourselves to have those B and C movies that we're going to enjoy. I'm sure plenty of people felt the same way about like Black Dynamite when it came out in the theaters. And now it's pretty much like a cult classic. So I don't expect I don't expect anything less of Proud Mary. You know, if anything, I would if I would have anything to complain about, I would just complain my ass off to Sony Pictures for the lackluster job, for the more than fucking lackluster job that they did at promoting this movie. But promoting that stupid ass animated movie, Peter the Rabbit. And it's like, you would see that. I saw so many more tweets of that than I saw tweets for Proud Mary. Like, Proud Mary, we should have been inundated with all of the tweets, all of the damn commercial spots for like a good solid, for like 2 months or something prior to it coming out.
Yeah.
You know, but they just didn't care. You know, they didn't care because, you know, probably because of the Hollies or whatever, but there's also something to be said when there's a movie with the color, which I'm about to say color. See, now about to get me in my feelings. When it comes to when it comes to a black woman who is the lead in a movie, and y'all don't put any money or power or anything behind her. Like, yes, it's Taraji, and Taraji is a force, but there's only so much that she can do. Like, I didn't even know that the cute dude from How to Get Away with Murder was in that movie. I didn't know he was in that.
Exactly. Yeah. No, exactly. Because you didn't really, unless you caught the trailer and paid attention from the, yeah.
And plus, he wasn't shirtless. So I was like, damn. I'm like, who is this guy?
Right. But it's unfortunate because... what movie is that? The stupid movie that's many stupid movies, but Scarlett Johansson, the one, she wasn't necessarily a spy, but she turned into like some super, I don't know. What is that movie? Not Salt, because Salt I actually like.
Was it Atomic?
It just came out 2 years ago. No, not Atomic Blonde. This is what Scarlett Johansson was in. Oh my God, I can't think of the name of the stupid movie.
It's
at the end, she takes some drug or whatever, Lucy. And she becomes like this super...
Oh, you're talking about Lucy.
What's the name of it?
Lucy.
Lucy, yes, Lucy. I remember seeing
the first, you know, Homo sapien. They, right. You know, when they found her bones, they named her Lucy. Yeah. And the funny thing is, I used to love that movie. And then, like, after a while and seeing folks really break it down, and I'm just like, okay, I can't watch this and I can't feel the same. I can't. You know, like, and that's,
yeah,
and that's,
but I'm even, saying, like, that had a lot of promotion.
Me, yeah, and that's even with me trying to be like, okay, I think I'm just gonna try and just watch this movie for whatever it is, action, yada yada yada. Mm-hmm. But it's like, damn, like this blonde, you know, yeah, but this blonde this blonde white chick to just get this drug overdose, and now she's, you know, she's just beating the fuck out of these, you know, Chinese and Korean motherfuckers. Like, really?
Yep.
Like, I'm good on that.
I know. And then we have, I didn't even know that this was Atomic Blonde Part 2, but Red Sparrow with, why am I blanking on all these white women's names?
Because there's too many of them.
From the Hunger Games.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
And that's the team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jennifer
Lawrence.
Yes.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah. And I keep seeing.
Mystique. Mystique freedom fighter.
I mean, like, I just. I don't even want to. I don't want to get my blood pressure more high than it already is, but just. I mean, just choices. That's all that is. So
yeah.
I've seen more press for that prior to that movie coming out already than I saw for Proud Mary. So it's just some bullshit. And who's to say that movie will actually be good, or it might be around the same grade as Proud Mary. It's just the bottom line is that it was foul with Sony did, and you can make the argument that, well, in January that's when bad movies come out. Okay, cool, whatever. I do remember seeing Jupiter Ascending having a bunch of marketing before that dropped,
and that shit was a bomb. It bombed so hard that you hardly hear about it.
Right. And I've tried to watch Jupiter Ascending. I watched it once. I mean, what a waste of time in a car. It's not on the trip, road trip to Chicago from North Carolina. And even in the car, it was just like, I don't know who picked this DVD up, but we're going to have a conversation because you should have done better.
Mm-hmm. You have failed me.
Yeah. So, but the bottom line from that kind of that conversation with Black Lightning and with Proud Mary is that, you know, it's okay to be critical about a piece of media and still enjoy it. It's okay to be critical about it and not enjoy it. It's okay to be not critical at all and not like it for whatever reason or like it. The thing is that I guess my biggest thing is what I'm trying to, I guess, be a little bit more vocal about is that, you know, your wokeness or your blackness or whatever is not hinged upon how critical you are about every damn thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And everything that is black media that you consume doesn't have to be woke.
Exactly.
And it could just be some niggas on some dragons.
Pretty much. Like,
and then that be
sometimes
it.
Sometimes you does, it's okay. Like, I don't want to have to think about how woke or unwoke something is when I'm watching it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, fuck, I won't listen. Just leave me alone with some chicken and like snakes on a plane. I will watch that shit. I don't give a shit that the movie is shitty as hell. But Sam Jackson got that check, and guess what? He triumphs against the snakes. So I'm good. Like there are
yeah, black guy doesn't.
Yeah, black guy. Off. Yes, black guy pulls it off. So there are some movies where you can shut half your brain off and you'll be okay. Like, and no one's gonna judge you for shutting half your brain off. Like, come on, son. Like it's okay.
Yeah. And if you I don't know, enjoy some show with a predominantly white cast, guess what? That's okay,
yeah,
too.
That's okay too.
It's fine. Like, I watch a lot of Seinfeld, more because that was just something, a show that my dad liked, and I ended up watching and enjoying it. So that's just like a personal thing is why I watch it the way I do. But I'm watching Golden Girls right now. It's about four old white women in Florida, the state that continuously fucks us.
Yeah. So it is okay. Like, yes, there's nothing wrong.
It's fine.
Like, you can enjoy Golden Girls and you can enjoy Living Single and you can enjoy Girlfriends
at the same time.
And I guess if you want to watch Friends, you can enjoy Friends too. That's it. Never really appealed to me. Like, not that it's Seinfeld. Like, you know,
no,
I guess, okay.
I look and I understand, and I totally understand. And that's one thing that another thing that you don't have to do is somebody voices.
Yeah, but then again, I know that when it comes to me and humor, it's very spotty because like I'll be the same one to be like, I don't really get into Friends, but like I'll probably watch the fuck out of Happy Gilmore.
See,
you know.
Very in degrees.
Because I want to see Carl Weathers with the wooden hand, and I want to see Happy get revenge on that crocodile that took Carl Weathers' hand. And I want to see him go apeshit.
And it's all fine.
They're trying to play golf, and like he gets mad at the ball for not going in the hole. Like, it's your home. Don't you want to go to your home? What's wrong with you? So,
and that is perfectly fine.
And that's perfectly fine, you know.
And that's so.
And even if Black Panther doesn't turn out to be the shit, which I seriously doubt that will happen, but even if it turns out to be some fucking B+, or even B-, it is okay, you know. Because like, and I think some of us have this, you know, we go into movies that we make, especially when it's predominantly us, and having like these super duper high expectations for these films, you know, because like, yeah, because you know, we don't really have that many films, so we gotta show, every time we make a film, we gotta make sure that it's good. Get the fuck out of here. No, because you don't see why.
That's impossible. Yeah, and it's not fair.
And yeah, exactly, it is not fair, and we should not. And that's another thing, we have to stop taking on these burdens of showing, you know, showing that we're twice as good for half as much. We gotta let that go. That's one of the burdens that we gotta let go, because that does nothing but hamper us, hampers our creativity. And personally, it's a spirit killer. Because you can't really do your...
It really honestly is.
And like, you don't see motherfuckers getting all bent out of shape out of something like that. Like, oh, we have to prove to the darkies that we're worth, you know, that we're worth them watching our stuff. No! Fuck no. So why take that on to yourself? Mm-hmm. I am all for laying down burdens. Lay down the respectability politics burden, and like, you will feel the most lightest feeling. And you can just be, and you can just let our medium be, because we already know we're more than capable of making hits, because we've done it time and time and time and time again. And here's the thing, they don't care. So why are you making yourself jump through hoops for them when it's the same 5 to 7 motherfuckers who are making the decisions, right? And no matter how many hoops they make you jump through, they'll think of another one for you to jump through tomorrow. So don't even do that. Don't even put yourself through that. You know, make the shit make the stuff that you want to make, and do it to the best of your ability.
And I think that is I honestly think that's the best way to kind of end the show. On a positive note,
be excited for Black Panther. You know, enjoy Black Lightning for what it is, and for the stuff that you don't like about it, talk about it. And trust me, you will find a bunch of other Black people who will be like, you know what? I saw the same thing that you're talking about, and I'm not feeling it either. Or maybe you won't. So it doesn't matter. Just say what you feel. Because like if we're going to be living in a time where we can still enjoy our media that we consume and still critique it, like that's just the way it goes now. So like we can still critique media and still have reasons for enjoying it. Like that's nothing. That's not even that complex. So yeah.
Yeah, you can still like the things. Yeah, be critical of the things you love, basically. Yeah. And for creators out there, you know, create your shit and your audience will come. Now you end up doing some left field that is, you know, damn well, like being homophobic, being transphobic, being all of those things. Then
you've got some problems. Yeah.
Expect the critiques that are going to come your way when you decide to really just, you know, be head ass about something. So, Jasmine, is there anything that you are currently working on? What are you up to?
Okay. So currently, like I said, I'm picking out chapters from the ISIS papers to refute in a video series on my YouTube channel. So, be on the lookout for that. I'll broadcast it from my Twitter. If people follow me on Patreon, my patrons will most likely get it first before anybody else. I've already started working on a script for that. Also, what else is going on? This is a bit far off, but I am also involved in the Women in Comics Con. Usually it's in the spring, but this time since we had to change the location of where it's going to be, it's going to actually be on Saturday, June 30th. That's right. It's going to be during Pride Weekend at the Central Library in Brooklyn. So that should be hot. So I think tickets are on sale for it now. And also, if there's any creators out there who want to vend a table, the applications will be out for that soon. So be on the lookout for that. Other than that, I would just say to folks to follow me on Twitter. I do my best to drop new blogs because I write. Because, you know, why let folks slide into my DMs asking me to write stuff for them for free when I can just build up my own? I basically just build up my own site, my own blog site, which is at www.foxyjezebel.net. The way my schedule is looking like, it looks like every first and last Friday of the month, I drop new blogs. So follow me on Twitter to find out about my latest writings, what I'm ranting about. and it's basically just, you know, just keep up with what I'm doing. So just be sure to follow me on Twitter. That's basically
why
I let everyone know what's going on.
Yeah, and guys, you definitely should follow her and also subscribe to her Patreon. I will have all of that info available to you just a click away in the description of this episode. So no excuses to at least, you know, click. Just a click away. So please keep that in mind. And yeah, I think that's it. I don't have anything else going on. If you haven't seen, there was an announcement from ArcLight Comics that myself and Valerie Complex are going to be
writing comic books.
Yes, girl. Thank you. Are going to be thank you. So we're going to be co-writing a character named Braxton, who is a superhero who is part of the Hope superhero team. So be on the lookout for more info on that. Probably some more things to be revealed during Universal FanCon, which I will be at.
What con?
And I'm working on Universal FanCon.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, I'll definitely be there. And I think a good number of ladies from the Women in Comics Collective will be there too. So that'll be good. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet everybody in person and meet the folks that I've muted in person, just everybody. So I'm looking forward to that. What else? There's a website for the podcast finally. It's lemonadepodcast.wordpress.com. So you can keep up to date with me there. And I'm trying to get, haven't wrote any blogs yet, but I am trying to get around to doing that. I sat back and I thought about, like, girl, you're doing a lot. Maybe you should like chill for a second. So
this podcast, then you got Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro with Jamie, and now you're writing comic books, girl.
And still the Girlfriends podcast. So there's a lot.
Yeah, girl, you do. You remind me of Regine. You're doing a lot.
It's too much. I am, and I said that to myself while I was watching Livingston. I was like, oh, I guess I am Regine. Did not see that coming. Oh, no. Raging and Sawyer.
Sawyer and Raging.
I could never be as busy as Raging. I could never be.
I can only pray that I can be an eighth busy as Raging. Like, that's my girl.
Right. I hung out with her during Heroes Come when she was here in Charlotte, and I was like, how are you still this busy? I know it's con time, but Jesus. So we can all just be as busy as her. So shout out to you, Regine. But yeah, I guess until next time, I guess I'll catch you all later. There is a special Thirst episode coming soon for February. Not dubbing this a Valentine's Day episode, but I mean, hell, we'll just call it that. So until then, I will catch you all later.
Bye, y'all.